shit.
Is anybody like that here?
Yeah, yeah, anybody.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear.
Fuck your son, Okoro.
That every one of you, from now on, you will begin to excel.
Amen.
Who is the one fellow that you will stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention?
Allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn.
You're watching Redemption Way.
Been asked to speak to us on that I may know him. Philippians chapter 3, reading from verse 7 to 11. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, I want to know him. Everybody knows that it is a common adage that knowledge is power. Knowledge is power, and ignorance is destruction. The word of God says that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is power. In 1963, I was a teacher at Ondo Boys High School, Ondo, teaching with school sat. And I was out of the 40 lessons in a week, I was teaching 35, which means I do not really have much to breathe throughout the day. And then there was this young graduate, then older than I, but young, who was teaching 21 classes out of 40, and he was complaining. So I went to him and I said, "Sir, I am teaching 35, and I'm being paid £17.10. You are teaching 21, and you are being paid £60. He looked at me and smiled. He said, "I'm being paid for what is here. I'm being paid for what is in my head. You go to the university, come out, then they begin to pay you for knowledge." So when Paul said, "I want to know him," he was already an apostle. So if an apostle says, "I want to know Jesus," then where do I stand? I'm an ordinary pastor. Where do you stand? Some of you are not even deacons yet. Now, there are many aspects of Jesus that I don't blame Paul if he says, "I want to know him." There's an aspect of him that says he is the Savior. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Matthew 1:21 says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." There is the aspect of him that says he's the healer. There's the aspect of him that says he's the deliverer, and so on and so forth. So what aspect of him then did Paul want to know? I have a rough idea. I think he is interested in the aspect of Jesus Christ that says is the truth. Because Paul was a lawyer, I'm sure he was interested in the truth. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He wanted to know more about the truth. And now, since this is the year of Jubilee, and the Bible says in John chapter 8 verse 32, John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the year of Jubilee is the year of freedom. I think the year of Jubilee should be the year of truth. So tonight, by the special grace of God, we want to focus on that aspect of Jesus Christ that is called the truth. Is there anyone here tonight who wants to hear the truth? Raise your hand if you are one of them. I said, "Yes, I want to hear the truth." Are you sure? Because the truth can be bitter. Several years ago, an organization said they wanted me to come and talk to them about, they wanted me to come and raise funds for them to finish a church building. I told them I don't know how to raise funds. They said, "You don't know how to raise funds, and you built the camp." I said, "I'm not the one who built the camp, it is God." And they said, "We know." going to come and tell us. I said, I told my people the truth. They said, that's what we want to hear. I said, you want to hear the truth? I can't hear your answer now. So I went to them, and they insisted. And when I got there, I told them that all sins are terrible to God. But there are three that he hated most. They began to look at me. We asked you to come and raise money. And you are talking about sin. So I told them the three sins. That's not the sermon of tonight. Because I'm not here to respond. At the time I finished, they wished they didn't invite me. However, in less than 30 minutes, they raised 4 billion naira. Because I told them the truth, hard truth. Now, when we talk about truth, there are levels of truth. When you go to the primary school, you go to learn some truths. You go to learn 2 + 2 = 4. When you go to the secondary school, you want to learn more. When you go to the university, you go to another level. Ask anybody who didn't do too much of mathematics, what is 2 + 2? The answer is 4. Ask somebody who got to my own level of mathematics, and you say, what is 2 + 2? He will ask you, at what speed? Because when speed begins to move close to the speed of light, 2 + 2 is less than 3. That's something else. But that's not what we are here to discuss tonight. So God helping me, we will begin with basic truths. Then we move on to secondary truths. And then do a little bit of higher truths, because you must come higher. Check basic truths. Number one, nothing goes for nothing. Everybody knows that. The Bible tells us clearly that salvation is free. By grace you are saved. Ephesians chapter 2. Read it from verse 5 to 8. Not of works, so that nobody can boast. It is free. Salvation is free. But nothing goes for nothing. Because salvation is free only because someone paid for it. Who paid for your salvation? Thank you. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. He said, it is blood that cleanses from all sins. He said, this is my blood shed for you. He shed his blood to buy your salvation. Healing is free. Divine healing. If healing comes from God, it is free. You don't believe me? Read 2 Peter chapter 5. And see what will happen to anyone who tries to sell the healing that comes from God. Naaman got his healing free. He brought money. Elisha said, thank you very much, sir. Freely I received, freely I gave. Gehazi said, no, if my master will not take the money for healing this man, I will take the money. Fine. He got the money and got the leprosy. Healing is free if it's coming from God, but someone paid for it. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, by his stripes we were healed. Who paid for your healing? Jesus. Do you know divine prosperity is free? Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. Proverbs 10 22 says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and added no sorrows. If it is coming from God, it's free. No sorrows attached. Because someone paid. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. He said, I became poor that through my poverty you might become rich. So if you look at the anthem for the convention, you see there, come out of sin, don't waste my blood. Come out of pain, don't waste the stripes I took for you. Come out of poverty, because I became poor that you might become rich. Nothing goes for nothing. Pure, basic truth. The basic truth in the scripture says it is possible, never to be sick again. In the year of Jubilee, you can receive your healing. And it is possible never to lose that healing. Exodus 15:26 says, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he commands you, he said he will bring no sickness upon you. Because it's the Lord that heals you. He can make sure that for the rest of your life, you live completely free of sickness. It is possible to enjoy prosperity for the rest of your life. It is possible. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1, 2, 11, and 12. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, 2, 11, and 12. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all that he commands you, he says blessings will follow and pursue you and overtake you. He said you will lend to nations and you will never borrow. Basic truth. Now let's move to secondary truths. Just a little bit of it, because we don't have all night. One of the things I probably just mentioned under secondary truth is that there are two forces, two powerful forces controlling life. One is called curses, the other is called blessings. Just those two, they can determine what will happen to you. What is a curse? A curse is an invitation to all forces in heaven, on earth, under the earth, to work against someone. Because it's people say to angels, demons, every force, just make sure that this fellow will not succeed. That's what the cause is. What you need to do is read Deuteronomy 28. Read it from verse 14 to the end. And you see what happens when a man is cursed. Deuteronomy 28, 14 to the end. And you see a classical example in Genesis 29, verse 1 to 4. Genesis 29, verse 1 to 4. When Jacob was talking to his children, he said, come, I'm about to die. All of you gather together, my children. Let me tell you your future. And he looked at Reuben, the firstborn. He said, Reuben, you have everything going for you. Powerful, excellent, etc., etc. He said, but I say, you shall not excel. You're number one. Everything number one is supposed to be is already in you, but when someone is under a curse, everything he touches fails. And I pray for all of you who are here today, if there's any curse that is still left in your life, in this year of Jubilee, may be destroyed in Jesus' name. And a curse flows down like a river. If it is pronounced on one man, God have mercy on his children and grandchildren, because it keeps going down. As the people of Jericho, they will tell you. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. He said to Elisha, our city is beautiful, as you can see. Everything on the surface is looking good. But that's where the goodness ends. He said, the water is bitter. Everything is we're just suffering. Why? Because we are in the past. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, Joshua 6, verse 26, I pronounced the curse on the city. The curse kept on flowing down like a river. The other force, which is the opposite of course, it's a blessing. And that's why I smile when I hear people say, I was lucky. There's nothing called luck. You are either cursed or you are blessed. Two forces. One is working on for you, or the other is working against you. What is a blessing? A blessing is a summon to all forces in heaven, on earth, underneath the earth, to support somebody and make sure he succeeds. That's what a blessing is. So when somebody is blessed, every door he knocks is opened. Where others are having difficulties, when a blessed person arrives, things are easy. You want an example? Read Genesis 27, verse 26 to 29. Genesis 27, verse 26 to 29. There you see Isaac blessing Jacob. What did he say? He said, let our forces be in your favor. Dew of heaven, fatness of the earth. He said, let people serve you. Let nations bow down to thee. He said, be Lord over thy brethren.
Let the children of your mom bow down to you. He said, those who curse you are already cursed. Those who bless you are blessed. When someone is blessed, nobody can stop it. Blessing, a blessing can pick the younger and make him superior to the elder. It's there in Genesis 48, verse 13 to 20. Genesis 48, verse 13 to 20. You see, two children. One, the firstborn, Manasseh, the other, Ephraim. They were brought to their grandfather for blessing. And he placed the blessing of the firstborn on the secondborn. And within a short period of time, the younger one was 10 times more prosperous than the elder. You read it. Deuteronomy 33, verse 17. Deuteronomy 33, verse 17. So you see that when you look at Deuteronomy 28 and you read it from verse 1 to 13, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 13, you see all the works that blessing can do. When you are blessed, enemies that come against you will be destroyed without you fighting. That's what the Bible says. It said, the enemy that rise up against you shall be smitten before your face. You are not the one smiting them. Forces that are assisting you will smite them. When you are blessed, he said, you'll be heard, you won't be tailed. That's why. If there's anything at all you want from your father before he dies, this is blessing. If your father, your mother, and just say, God bless you, my son. God bless you, my daughter. You can begin to rejoice. It's much more than giving you money. Because money can finish. But blessing will open doors. Of course, it costs you something to get blessing. Because nothing goes for nothing. But like I used to say to my children, I can bless you on credit. I can bless you first and then you can come and settle me later. So all of you are here tonight, be blessed in Jesus' name. But where I'm going really tonight is a higher level of truth, because this is the year of Jubilee, and the Lord had told me that this is one convention none of us will forget. And if we are not going to forget it, then we need to know the truth. After all, the elders have been saying, if two children of the same mother went into a room and they come out smiling, it means they have not been telling each other the truth. So if by the time we finish tonight you are not smiling at me, no problem. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Whether the devil likes it or not, in the name that is above every other name, this year of Jubilee, you shall be free. What is this higher truth that I'm talking about? You see, we say the year of Jubilee is the year of release. That is true. Slave owner owners will say to slaves, go. You are released. It's a year of jubilee. And nothing goes for nothing. The slave is free. The slave owner suffers a loss. The year of jubilee is the year of restoration. Your land that you have sold because you ran into some financial problems will be restored to you. It's the year of restoration. As jubilee, you gain. Somebody loses. Nothing goes for nothing. But the year of jubilee is actually the year of restitution. And restitution is a word nobody wants to hear. We want to hear about salvation. We want to hear about healing. Yes, we want to hear about power. We want to hear about breakthrough. Nobody wants to hear about restitution. Year of jubilee is the year of restitution. It's the year when what is not your own, what you got from somebody else, must be restored to the owner. Consider the law of harvest. The preacher told us, Galatians 6 verse 7 says, basically, whatever you sow, you reap. Galatians 6:7. Basically, he says, how much you reap is determined by how much you sow. Give and you shall be given. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. The man who took the offering told us that if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. And he says it will be determined by how good the ground that you sow it into is. That is true. Matthew 13, verse 3 to 9. Matthew 13, 3 to 9. But the Bible says in Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. Hosea 8, verse 7. He said, if you sow wind, you will reap the wild wind. The year of jubilee does not cancel the law of harvest. That is the year of jubilee. Does not mean that if you sow, you will reap. If you sow the wind, get ready for the wild wind. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to 12. 2 Samuel 12, verse 1 to 12. David killed Uriah with the sword so that he can get his wife. God said, David, I like you. You are a man after my own heart. But you killed this man with the sword. He said, the sword will never depart from his house. David killed only one man. God said, the sword will be there forever. Only one way to avoid harvesting evil that you have planted. That's if you go quickly to where you plant it and uproot it. That's the only one way. Think that the seed you sowed is gone. Then you don't even know the basic laws of agriculture. Every seed must have a harvest. That's why those who don't know the reason they remain poor. The harvest is gone. And the same is true, not only physically and materially, it is true spiritually. That which you sowed is waiting in the future. Unless you can restitute your ways. Paul was speaking and he said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 25. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25. He said, I went to prison often. They stoned me. They beat me. He was reaping what he sowed. He was the chairman when they were stoning Stephen. He threw many Christians to prison. Now he's an apostle. That did not cancel the law of harvest. When he prayed to God, God went with all this beating and prison and stoning, and God said, hey, my grace will be sufficient for you. Have you in your possession money that you stole, things that do not belong to you that you maneuvered using your position? If you love yourself, if possible, before the end of this week, restitute. Because as long as that contamination is in your money, the bad money will destroy the good ones. You don't believe me? Ask Achan in Joshua chapter 7. He took that which God said, don't touch, and added it to something. He hid it. He thought nobody would know. There's another truth that I don't have time to go into. There's nothing hid that will not come into the open. Nothing hid. If you thought you did it and nobody will ever know. So it can grab something that didn't belong to him, put it into. Instead, the unfortunate thing is that when it was time for him to die, he didn't die alone. He took all his children with him. If you think that what you've done, the evil that you have done, the money you have stolen, the thing you got by wrong means, because nobody saw you, is gone forever. Think again. If there is something that is not yours, that is in your possession, for you to enjoy this year of Jubilee, go and restitute. You took another man's wife. Into your home. When you get home, read Genesis chapter 12. Verse 11 to 20. Genesis 12, 11 to 20. And you will see what happened to somebody who did something similar and what he had to do before his problems were over. But let me move on. That's dangerous ground, isn't it? prophecies. The prophecies will come. And you know that this is for me. And yet, you wait and wait and wait for fulfillment. And you don't see it. And say, what's going on? Chapter 2 verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. God said to Eli, he said, I said indeed, I'm the one who said so, that you and your father's house will stand before me forever. He said, but now I say, be it far from me. I changed my mind. Joshua chapter 1. Read it from verse 1 to 5. Joshua 1, from verse 1 to 5. God said to Joshua, Joshua, no man will ever be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Nothing can be plainer than that. God said it to him directly. He didn't send Pastor Adeboye. He said it himself. Joshua, you will win all battles. And then they got to Ai. And they fled before the enemies. Joshua fell on his face and said, God, what's happening? This is not what you told me. And God said in verse 12, he said, because there is something that has crept in, and unless that thing is removed, I won't go with you anymore. Oh. You see, many of us think that we can treat restitution as something like something we should gloss over. Something. No, it doesn't work that way. Read Malachi chapter 3. Read it from verse 8 to 10. Malachi 3, 8 to 10. And you see what I mentioned earlier, the issue of curses and blessing. God said, you people are eating what is not your food. What belongs to me, you are eating it with your food. He said, the trouble is a curse comes as a result. He said, but you restitute your ways, I will replace the curse with one blessing.
Irreversible blessing.
secret. That when God blesses, you know this one is forever. Genesis 22, verse 1 to 18. Genesis 22, verse 1 to 18. God said to Abraham, give me your son Isaac, that you love, and sacrifice him. Abraham said, okay. You gave me, you want him, you can have him. Tied up the boy, raised up the knife. God said, all right, all right. It's just a test. You have passed. He said, now I swear that the blessing I'm about to pronounce on you will never be reversed. He said, I swear. When we talk about first fruit, some of you think it is a gimmick. That's why it's not even first fruit of increase, it's first fruit sacrifice. This man says, God, you can have it all. God says, all right, I bless you irreversibly. I think I've said what God wants me to say. Come up higher. How do I go higher? You can go higher. And at the same time, allow those things that want to keep you down to stay. Anyone who wants to rise must get rid of weights. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 10. You want to go up? Get rid of certain things. Read the passage. When you get home. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1. You want to run this race? The weights that will hold you down, you must get rid of them. Several years ago, God taught me about this restitution practically. I went to UI to conduct a Bible study. When we got to a Bible, because I wanted to leave UI very early the following morning, we branched at a petrol station to fill up my tank. Unknown to us, that particular petrol station had water and petrol mixed together. We just filled the tank and went to UI. The following morning, we started the car. The car started. Put it in gear to go forward. It curved and stopped. Again and again and again. Friends that I stayed with called the university mechanical engineer. They took my car to their station and they checked and they said, there's water in the carburetor. It's only fuel that's supposed to be there. What am I going to do? I'm in a hurry. They said, sir, no hurry to be. They took down the tank, drained the fuel, separated water from petrol, poured the petrol, fixed the tank again, poured the petrol, and said, now you can go. As long as water is mixed with your petrol, you are not going anywhere. Everything you know is not rightfully yours. Get rid of it. Those of you who are here who are still living in sin, you're not even born again yet in your own case. And you think that, oh, I'm going to the convention. The Lord is going to use Pastor Adeboye for me. Can we continue in sin and expect grace to abound? People say, God forbid. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want his blood to wash away your sins so that all things can pass away and all things can become new, come now. If you are born again once, but you're already backsliding, you're already doing those things that you said you will never do again, come. Come to the Almighty God, let him cleanse you one more time. Brethren, why these people are coming? Begin to think of those things, those areas where you need to restitute. Because unless you get rid of that which should not be with you, how can you possibly go higher? So if you want to give your life to Jesus, come now. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for these people who have come forward to surrender their lives to you tonight. I thank you because you said, whoever comes unto you, you will no wise cast out. They have come. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Whatever they've done wrong in the past, your blood that cleanses from all sins, let the blood wipe them clean in Jesus' name. Save their souls and write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. And the grace never to go back into sin. Please, give to them in Jesus' name. And if there be any backsliders among them, Lord, restore fully in Jesus' name. Don't let them